everybody, welcome to Psych Tech. With you as always is Josue and Kelly, here to talk to you about technology and psychology. We're psychology pros, going to talk a little bit about technology. And on debating what we're going to talk about this week, we came up with the idea of technology that's convenient, kind of sparked by a product that Kelly saw. So Kelly, what was it that you saw that you thought, hey, I think this would be cool to talk about on the show?
Amazon Dash was announced, and I kind of couldn't believe it, but then I read into it and was like, huh, that's an interesting idea. So Amazon Dash, if you haven't heard about it quite yet, is a series of Wi-Fi connected buttons that you can put around your house. So for example, if you have the Tide detergent button, you put it on your washing machine or someplace in your laundry room, and when you are running low on Tide, you hit your Tide button, and it instantly sends the order to Amazon, and in 2 days, you have new laundry detergent showing up at your house.
And this is not an April Fool's joke.
Nope. This is a legitimate thing that's happening.
And I definitely thought it was a joke, because they just look like these little clips, right, that are branded with the name of the product. And then the idea is, use the Tide example, right? You would have that in the laundry room, or you could have a coffee button. I don't know if there's a coffee one yet, but you would have that in the kitchen, maybe next to the coffee maker.
Yeah, there's right? A Keurig one.
Oh, yeah, right. So then you would get, you know, stock up on Keurig, and you've got everything set up. And so what do you think of something like that? What do you think of a product that, do you think that's convenience, right? I want to debate that word convenience today, but what do you think about it?
I'm really kind of torn. I have strong feelings in both directions. One is I'll use the word convenience. I like that I can be in the room and go, hey, I'm running out of laundry detergent. I'm going to push this magic button and I don't have to worry about it anymore. As it turns right now, I usually go to the grocery store maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, and where I would physically pick something up or just order it off of Amazon if I remember to do so. I like the idea that I wouldn't forget, or I would have a less chance of forgetting, considering it's right there triggering, like, in my face. On the other hand, I'm not sure I want to be stuck only with the brands that are currently partnered with Amazon. So I'm not quite sure how many different partners they have, quite a few. But for example, if I really like Snuggle laundry detergent and all they offer is Tide, well, then am I giving up choice for a couple extra seconds of time? Or... And pricing-wise, is that going to be an issue? Because if I'm not paying attention to it, Amazon could charge $1 million for a thing of laundry detergent.
Interesting. I did read this article that talked about how Amazon really isn't that much cheaper than other places. They're just very, very good at strategically lowering prices. So if something isn't popular at the moment, their prices are, you know, they're competitive. They're pretty much exactly the same or sometimes even higher. So that's a great point. If you're not looking at the price anymore, you're just pushing that button. I think it actually just goes to your app on your phone. So I think it just puts it in your cart. I think you have the option to do that. I don't think it just goes all the way through to checkout and then it shows up at your house.
No, it does. It goes all the way to checkout. Like, as soon as you push that button, it is ordered. You do get an email notification that, hey, this thing has been ordered. And I think you have 24 hours to cancel it, I think was the time frame on it. So that if you push it on accident, there would be a way to kind of take that back. And there's also a setting on it that it can only be pushed once every certain number of time. So if you've got a 5-year-old and they go up and they hit the Tide button 50 times, you're not going to get 50 buckets of Tide.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess, do I want 5 different brands' buttons all there? And then do I want one of them to light up if it's on sale? So I'll put that one up. Oh, then you have buttons everywhere.
Yeah, that's the other thing to me is it's a lot like the wearables we talked about, where they're kind of clunky and they're kind of obvious, not the best looking things to look at, but the idea behind it is really cool. Personally, I would love to just have some kind of giant jug of laundry detergent. I'm apparently really fixated on this in my laundry room, and it has a sensor on it. So when I get to a certain amount of laundry detergent, it dings and auto refills it for me. Kind of the way that my car lets me know it needs gas, although that doesn't auto-refill, unfortunately. That kind of thing. So it would kind of take this middleman step out of it.
Yeah, but I think the brand thing comes up again, and the price. And what if you don't have money in your account? and that thing just goes automatically. And then you've got, and then your $10 jug of a laundry detergent ends up costing $45 because you had to pay an overdraft fee or something. You know, like there's all this. That's a nightmare scenario for you there.
I'm pretty sure, because I've had this happen not with not having money in my account, but I had an old card on there. And so it would send me an email saying, hey, we couldn't complete payment. Please update your payment. So that, I think that would probably be it. They're not going to try and overdraft funds. It's just a matter of, you know, making sure that your payment form is valid and whatnot. I think there's huge potential, but it also does remind me of product placement in TV shows. I know I've been watching a lot of Arrow, and every single time I see the Microsoft Surface, hey, this look at this really cool Surface. Like, yes, we live in a corporate culture.
Every time somebody brings up a cell phone, not just in Arrow, but in other shows, right? You just see a clear shot of exactly what the brand is, and yeah.
It reminds me, I was a huge Alias fan back in the day, so we're talking back in the day, and I remember they were sponsored by, I want to say it was Honda, but it was by a car company. And so they'd have these really epic chase scenes. And at different points during the chase scene, the camera would just zoom in to the Honda logo and then zoom back out. But I was like, okay, I gotcha. Product placement. Okay, carry on.
That's funny. Well, I don't know. I think the dash button, I think it's kind of silly in the sense that how much more convenient is it? All right, I'm going to keep throwing that word out there. Because it's pretty convenient for me to just bring up my phone and or my Apple Watch and just go into Amazon, right, or whatever, and just click, yep, I want to order some laundry detergent, and then it shows up at my house in a day or two.
Yeah, I see.
That's pretty convenient already.
I feel like there's a specific kind of person or a couple different kinds of people. So my brother-in-law is the kind of guy that when he runs out of clean socks, he just goes to Walmart and buys more socks rather than do laundry. So I figure maybe this would probably be aimed towards him. And there, for some people, the convenience of a one-touch button negates any kind of cost difference, negates anything else. The fact that it is one step, not three steps, but one step. And another individual this would probably be really attractive to, I would say, is new parents. Because when you've got a child waking up at all hours of every single waking moment that you have, and even the ones where you're not waking, the idea that you could just hit a button and be done with it, I would imagine would be very, very attractive to sleep-deprived parents.
All right, so you say convenience. That is definitely a convenience tech.
Yes, I would. Okay. I would say so. Yes.
Okay. Okay. We talked about Uber a few episodes ago, and we talked about transportation, Uber and Lyft, and that type of thing. Do you think that falls into the category of convenience?
Not convenience tech, because there's nothing new being introduced technologically. Like a car is still a car, and the app. There are apps that do that kind of thing all the time. I think that it is convenient, but I don't think of it as convenience tech.
See, well, that's where I differ, because I think the dash button is kind of the same way. It's just a different way to do something that you were, I don't know. I think Uber and Lyft do have that advantage where they've created this whole platform where all your drivers, you can see them, and then they have a piece of technology and you have a piece of technology, and those communicate and sync up, and they match you with the closest person, and it's monitoring his progress, and then you get to know how much time it's going to take them to get there, and you can see them on the map. I think there's a lot of stuff going on there that, as someone who has taken many, many cabs, and when I lived in New York, it was so frustrating. I think I'm just really bad at getting a cab. You know, I'm the guy in the movie who is like waving down a cab, and someone else jumps in front right at the right moment and gets the cab that's coming down the road. And I was waiting for 10 minutes. I was horrible at it. There were days when I felt defeated by New York City taxis, because it's like nobody wanted to pick me up. What am I doing wrong? Like, am I standing at the wrong corner? And then I would lose my patience and move to another corner. It was pretty bad. So
you've got to show some leg. I mean, come on.
I tried that. Or nothing ever shirt? Worked. Nothing worked. Nothing.
Oh, huh. Maybe you are doing it wrong.
I think so. I need a class. And so the idea that I can just go to my phone, hit that button, and then I just see the car coming. You know, I don't have to. None of that other stress that I had is there anymore. So it was really like a huge huge thing for me. So for me, that's huge. I mean, and we've talked about that before and people know about that. But I did see this new thing called Lux, like Valet Lux. Did you look into it?
I did look into that. And okay. I was, you know, it's getting to the point where there's so much fanciness out there. I just feel simple. I'll just put it that way.
So Lux is a company that, so what they'll do is they'll have a their own parking lot in the area. And then if you're going to go have dinner at X restaurant, you just let them know ahead of time. And there'll be somebody waiting for you there to valet. Even if the restaurant has their own valet, you'll have your own personal valet waiting for you there to pick it up. So you could do that anywhere, at the supermarket, at the game, at a restaurant, anywhere within the city limits that they've set. And then you just tell them whether you want them to bring it back for you. So if you're going to go to dinner and then go to a movie and then go to a concert and then go to somewhere else and tell them, yeah, at 1 a.m., I want the car here, and that's like 2 miles away at the other side of the city, they'll take it to you. That is really cool. That is amazing.
I have a different adjective.
Okay. What is it?
Extravagant.
Well, it's not that expensive. It's kind of weird. And I think it falls on kind of silly too. And definitely I've never been in the situation where I wished that I can't remember how many times I've ever valeted in my life.
Like, zero. I can honestly say zero.
I think I've done it maybe twice. Like at a big event where there was a long line to park in one place, and I was running late, and it was like maybe $15 more to just have the car valeted. I was like, all right, I'll do it. I think I did it once at an airport that had that feature, that had the option, and I was almost going to miss my flight. So there are situations where having the option to do something like that is really cool. I agree. It is extravagant depending on the pricing. But it's still a cool feature. I think that's really convenient. Like, we talked about how a driverless car would just drop you off and then come get you. And until we get there, you can just have a person in a nice blue jacket waiting for your car.
But what if you don't like people?
What if you don't like people? Well, you just hand them the keys. I don't understand. The app, everything happens through the app. Just like with Uber. Like, you don't have to, you know, just go through the app. All the information is there. You don't have to tell them where you're going. The app already knows.
It's creepy.
I don't know. I think that's an interesting example. Do you have any more that you've seen lately? I've got a couple.
Oh, I've got a couple. I chose to kick it kind of old school as far as convenience tech goes, because there's this kind of history and lore behind Betty Crocker. And when Betty Crocker was first making the instant mix, so just add water and eggs and voila, then you have the dough you need to make whatever it is you're making. The original just needed water. That's all you had to do, was just add water to it and you can make muffins or biscuits or cupcakes, whatever it was you were making. But the psychologists in marketing said that women, now again, this is like in the 30s, women would not feel fulfilled by just adding water. They needed to actually add some kind of baking ingredient. And so they suggested eggs. And that's, to this day, that's what it still is on most of them, is either water or oil and one or two or three eggs. So that was the idea of convenience tech back then, of something that makes your life easier, but not easy enough. I don't know. I was trying, I mean, obviously their ideas about women and their pride being bending on eggs or not eggs is up for debate. But so that's one of my favorite convenience tech stories is Betty Crocker.
Gotcha. So like pressing the dash button might be like going too far for some people. They would feel uncomfortable. They would want to feel like, even if the one step less is going to Amazon and placing the order yourself, that still feels like you're a part of the process, I guess, or.
I mean, like, for example, another, I don't even know, this probably isn't even tech, and you can tell I'm hungry because all my analogies are about food, but birthdays in my family have always been a really big deal. You do not go out and buy a cake. You make the cake. It does not matter that it is less convenient. It is just something that you do. And so I think for some people, doing the quote-unquote real thing is, it's not about convenience, it's about personal fulfillment and accomplishment. I personally have no sense of fulfillment or accomplishment when I pick up laundry detergent. I guess there's a little bit of accomplishment because I actually did laundry. That's, that's a challenge for me sometimes. But yeah, I don't feel like my worth as a human being rides on my ability to order something with the click of a button or from my phone or actually go to the store to get it.
Yeah, like I'm not so busy that I can't. I need that those extra few seconds that I save by clicking that button.
Especially with Amazon Dash, they already have subscribe and save, which they're almost identical products. But I definitely think it's just they're branding the same thing, but in different ways, because there are some people who just don't care. Again, my brother-in-law would probably love to just click a button and have a new pack of socks show up at his house. You know, that for him would just be clutch. I don't even think it's a matter of time. For example, I'm pretty sure that doing laundry is my most hated activity. My most hated chore. I would rather clean the bathrooms or the kitchen. I would rather do anything.
Do you do it by hand? Like the machine does all the work.
Well, no, then you have to fold it and you have to move it and you have to match. I hate it. Wow. If there was a magic button to do that, I would be on board with that. Not because I don't have time to do it, but because I just really hate doing it.
So would you like something like, instead of Lux for your car, somebody just came to your house, picked up all your laundry, did it, and then came back and it was done and folded?
If there was a magic laundry elf, yes. Yes, I would like that quite a bit.
Well, then you'd have to pay money. This would be a service. Oh. This wouldn't be magic.
Okay, then yes. I would still... I mean, I know there are services out there that do that,
yeah.
But they're usually pretty expensive.
Now,
for rich people.
I don't remember where I heard this, but it was in India. There was a company that wanted to establish the service, exactly what we're talking about, for laundry in India because... See, so there's this, we're talking about convenience, right? I think that a lot of technology can fill a need. And then sometimes there's this talk about a pain point, right? Like, what is it that we could ease up on? You know, like what inconvenience or what discomfort can we help people with by creating some sort of new service or new technology? And I think this the laundry thing was, in this particular part of India, was almost a need, because the way that people were doing, there were people who came into the laundry, but they were literally taking it down. There were no machines in the area, right? So someone was willing to take it down to some sort of body of water and then wash it by hand. And then it would take like a week for you to get your clothes back. And then this completely changed everything because these guys set up a laundromat somewhere, and they would come and pick up the clothes. And then within a day, and you could pay extra if you wanted in a couple of hours, you know, and get that done. And I think depending on where we are now and where that technology can take us, it makes a big difference. If you really hate doing laundry, you would definitely consider a service like that.
Yes.
Do you have a washing machine at your place?
I do.
Okay. See, because I used to, I've lived in many places where I didn't have one and I had to go somewhere else, either a laundromat or it was in the building somewhere. And that I kind of hated.
Yeah, I had that too, and I did even less laundry then. If it's hard, it's hard to believe, but it's true.
Oh, somebody goes and takes your clothes out of the dryer.
I hate that. Don't wash my clothes.
No.
A lot of feels. A lot of very strong opinions about that.
Oh no. Yeah.
But yeah, this idea of convenience really speaks to my psychological sensibilities. I think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like, to me, that is the perfect corollary that's being drawn here. Is we are striving towards, well, let me start back at the beginning. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs was positive, but not completed by a guy named Maslow. And each different part of this needs pyramid relates to like your most foundational needs, and then something a little less foundational, and all the way up to self-actualization.
It was recently updated, and the bottom, the main foundation is Wi-Fi.
I saw that. That's totally true. But the bottom layer is the need for food, shelter, and safety. Mm-hmm. So our most basic primitive biological needs have to be met before we can start worrying about stuff on the next level. And the next level is, if I remember right, it's like family and community and friendship. So kind of those social relationships. It's really hard to have any kind of social relationship when you think you're going to get eaten by the T-Rex that's coming after you, or you know, you don't have a place to live. And it goes up into this pyramid in the top of self-actualization, which is where we are reflective and we explore our deepest inner selves and we become this idealized person that we were always meant to be.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I feel like convenience tech is doing. Is tech has taken care of, I think, probably definitely the bottom one, because now it's really easy to build houses and find food and shelter and things like that, relatively speaking, compared to, you know, 1,000 years ago. Social media has made it really easy to make those social connections and whatnot. And so now we're just we're chipping away at this hierarchy of needs to give us more time to do stuff that we want to do as opposed to stuff that we have to do.
I know, like most theories in psychology, they're just a theory. A lot of people kind of, you know, pick at Maslow's hierarchy. I try to, but for the most part, I tend to agree. Maybe yeah. I would shift things around a little. But the dash button looks, that's like, that goes way above self-actualization. Like, you've already, like, you became enlightened, and now you have nothing else to worry about except how to shave time off of your day. And you know, you're praying for a button on your laundry machine so you can actually get, you know, not have to do that. You know, like I'm going to start an inverse pyramid coming out of the top of hierarchy of Maslow's hierarchy, and then start with like crap like that.
Well, there's honestly a really interesting article by The New Yorker, which looked into convenience tech and whatnot. We'll include it in the show notes. But it talked about how tech has taken large burdensome things and taken them off our shoulders. But those large burdensome things have not given way to, say, relaxation and reflection, but have given away to a lot of smaller things. So, for example, it might have taken somebody all day to write and craft 3 handwritten letters. You know, I'm thinking founding fathers kind of stuff, you know, to really sit down and write it out, something thoughtful and before whiteout. So if you messed up, you had to start all over again. But now we respond to hundreds of emails, probably in a day, you know, or at least dozens and dozens of them in a day. And so these big laborsome tasks have been broken down into these much smaller tasks that are just as incessant. And I know a lot of times in psych, we talk about breaking things down into lists to help you kind of categorize and analyze what needs to get done. So in the past it was, I have 3 letters. I will do letter 1. I will do letter 2. I will do letter 3. Done. Now there's so much to do. Even though there are the little micro tasks, there are so many micro tasks that people tend to get overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but when I come back from vacation and I see, you know, 60 new emails, I'm like, no, I don't want, do not want.
I get an average of 30 new emails per half a day.
Yeah. And so even the small ones like our spam filters and things like that, the fact that you have to click it and then delete it, that's an example of a micro task that we just have to do. And it does take time. And if you added them together, if you added together all the time you spend getting rid of spam, I don't have those numbers, but I would imagine it'd be kind of depressing.
But it's true what you're saying. I mean, you're not trying to shave seconds off of your work so you can go home earlier. You're shaving it off so you can do other work, essentially. And then in some cases that may be do something in a shorter amount of time so you can have more time to binge watch Daredevil on Netflix, right? I mean, it depends on the person, but I think it does. It's like we're this move towards efficiency, right? Maybe convenience isn't the best word. It's like you're trying to be more efficient, trying to do more in the time that you have. I get that. Yeah.
Well, I also feel like the more powerful tools we have, the more powerful tech we have at our disposal, the more we're expected to do with it. You know, so for example, again, the letter writing example, you know, if it took a week to send somebody a letter from the time they sent it to you and you sent it back, that's totally fine because you have to write the letter and you have to mail the letter and there's a lot of steps that are involved and they tend to be time intensive. But nobody ever got upset if it took you 2 weeks to send a letter instead of 1. But I feel like nowadays, if you don't respond to somebody within an absurdly short amount of time, there's the potential for upset. Because technology is so powerful, we are now expecting instant responses or near instant responses. And again, that adds to the stress of, I gotta do this now, I gotta do this now.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any other examples of, I'm trying to think of something else that would be kind of life-changing, you know? Because now we're at that point where, yeah, it's like, I think Uber is great for a lot of people and Lyft. I hate just mentioning Uber, right? like Lyft or any of these other car services, I think they're good for a lot of people. Just like Airbnb is it's this great alternative, right? Because you don't have your only option isn't to stay at a hotel, but also if you have extra space, you now have an extra option for you're actually maximizing. Like, you're becoming more efficient with your space. It's like, I can make money off of this extra space, right? So it's this whole system of things working together that really help people out. And in some cases, it can make a huge difference. Like, if you can rent an extra room out in your house, that means less money that you have to spend on rent and more money that you can spend on what? I mean, on maybe something that you need, maybe on medicine, maybe just saving up for that vacation that you really wanted.
Yeah, there's
maybe
utility.
You owe some money. Yeah, there's something. I mean, it really, really affects your life in a bigger way. And for me, the whole taxi thing was really a huge. It was a pain point. It was horrible for me. But for other people, it wasn't that big of a deal. And if you didn't have to travel a long distance, it didn't matter. And you know, to have these different options, like I didn't have a car in New York, but I had a Zipcar account, and I had my Metro card. So there was all these different things, these different options that I had, and it was. It was I think it feels amazing to have those options. I mean, as silly as I think the Dash is, I love the fact that that's an option. You could have that there. You could have a wall full of all these buttons and just boop, 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 boop. Just click a few buttons and then have that there. I do think it's cool. I still think it could help some people more than others. And some of this technology is just like such a microscopic step in one. Like, we're already so good. You know, like, we have it so good already that extra little step seems silly, but coming from like way farther back or even 5 years ago, it would seem like something, from outer space.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think about the Dash buttons, and to me, that is almost the beginning of, say, a replicator from Star Trek, that you walk up, you press a button, and what you need is instantly there.
So there are food printers.
There are, and I want one.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a replicator.
Right. So these tiny steps in that general direction,
yeah,
I think are important. Even if they seem a little bit silly now, I have no intention of getting the Dash button. If my husband is listening, I don't think he knows that yet. So surprise. I don't. Again, it's. I have Amazon Prime. I like being able to push the button and choose and pick out. I want rain scent this time and not necessarily after shower or whatever. But I guess the last piece of tech I would imagine, for me at least, I don't know if it's life-changing, but the Nest, the automatic thermostat.
Yeah, yeah.
Because not only does that regulate, I mean, obviously it regulates temperature, but it learns your habits. And I feel that's an important technological step. And it also has the potential to really financially help you out, because if it can keep the house at specific temperatures that are eco-friendly, you know, if everybody was on Nest, we could probably save a lot of time and money and energy and resources by not chilling our houses, you know, when it's winter, or cranking the heat up when nobody's home.
Yeah, and that it does both things, right? It saves you a lot of money, but then it also gives you this comfort level. Because it's like, oh, you're usually here around 5 o'clock, so let me start cooling it up for you, you know, around 4:30. But then the rest of the time, you know, we're saving energy, so it's a win-win.
I think so, but yeah. I want to hear, since you are more of the tech savvy gentleman. Let me hear what you think is going to change the world of convenience tech, or what has.
Well, I don't think it's gonna. I don't. There's a lot of things that are gonna change the world. Maybe, yeah. So news just came out from Stanford. They designed a battery, a brand new battery, aluminum battery, that can charge. I don't remember the specifics now. It was like something in like a minute. You could charge a full cell phone.
Wow.
Right? And it's batteries are one of those things where that would really change a lot. You know, if electrical cars were able to have better batteries, if your computer. Actually, the new MacBook came out, right? And I read a review on Wired, and it talked about this idea that, you know, we're moving towards that point where the computer, you don't have to think about charging it. And even though we're not there now, we're almost there, because the computer can last about 9 hours or so. And you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about plugging it in every time you move or every time you sit down. And the more the batteries improve, I think that whole idea is going to, like, it's going to be huge, but we don't have to worry about plugging stuff in all the time.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I also seem to recall hearing a lot of discussion about how battery technology has stalled, especially in compared to other technology, and that if we could design a smaller, more efficient battery, we could advance human civilization 1,000 years in a decade or something ridiculous like that. But because the batteries we use are chemically based, we can't force stuff to happen? I'm not entirely sure.
There's a lot out there on batteries, and I'm not sure either. I do know that, yeah, batteries have been, that is a technology that is stalled, and there's tons of people working on that. And this new Stanford thing was pretty, it was interesting. I think they couldn't get enough voltage on it to be able to do much with it. Like, you couldn't power more than a cell phone, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't power anything bigger. But once you get over that hurdle, and, you know, as the technology keeps evolving, that's one of those things that, yeah, I do think it has the potential to change a lot of stuff. Because we, you know, we talk about how we're going to get so many more people on the internet. Like, people don't think about the fact that, yeah, there's 7 billion people in the world, but billions of people don't have internet. And then when those people do get on there, you have billions more people on the internet being able to buy stuff, being able to use social networking and produce content and do all of these things. And that's going to be huge for the global economy and just for everything. It's going to change a lot of stuff. And the sooner we can actually expand technology into those places, that's going to be, it's going to be huge. And I think batteries would be a very important part of that. And actually, along those lines, Facebook recently, and actually, there's three big projects. Facebook has one now. Elon Musk has one. And I think it's Google. I think Google is doing it with balloons. Facebook is doing it with drones. And Elon Musk is doing it with satellites. And the idea is to blanket the entire planet with accessible internet access so that you can reach places where there isn't that infrastructure yet.
So it sounds like an internet in the sky, some kind of net sky or Skynet.
No, don't go there yet. No, it's not sentient. We're just talking about internet here.
It's already there.
Internet connectivity. I think the balloons will be the first ones to be sentient. And so the idea that you'll blanket, there isn't internet access in a lot of places. Including here in the United States, there are places where you can't get a signal and there's no infrastructure, like, you just can't do it. So if you couple that with improved batteries, all of a sudden you can reach places that you couldn't reach before. And that stuff is coming, and I think it's going to be a huge jump from somebody who doesn't even have a computer to being able to have a very cheap computer with a battery that lasts a few days. And then Facebook or Google is providing you free internet from the sky, and doesn't matter how slow it is, that is life changing. It won't be for us because we're already here, unless we want to move somewhere that's very remote. But for a lot of people in the world, that's going to be huge.
I mean, you just think about the democratizing nature of the internet and how that revolutionized every country that has it. And even though that's a minority of the world's population, and the biggest thing, I've got some friends who work for Al Jazeera, and they talk about Arab Spring and how social media platforms like YouTube and Twitter really were kind of one of the foundational aspects of a lot of civil unrest and movements to, you know, get rid of dictators and whatnot. So, yeah, I think giving the ability to have access to all of the world's information in the palm of your hand is very powerful.
That reminds me of the shooting in South Carolina recently, where somebody recorded a video of a police officer shooting a man. And now that we have live streaming technology, right? So if that was more prevalent, you could see not only these events that we've seen in the past and the civil unrest where people are recording videos and then uploading them, you can have a live stream where someone is broadcasting that information from their phone. You can have multiple people broadcasting the same event simultaneously from just their cell phone, not a news anchor, not a whole news van, right? Just anybody with internet access and a phone could do this stuff just live. And I think that is something else that will have a huge effect. Because what happens when all of a sudden it's not one person who recorded a short video, and it's everybody on the block is live streaming it at the same exact time, and all of that is getting archived.
Yeah, and that's not a future thing. That's a now thing.
Periscope.
Yeah,
Periscope and Meerkat are here, you know, and a lot of people are talking about them. And I love to hear people talk about the different use cases. And a lot of people are just using it like, oh, I'm just like, you know, here's my morning coffee. And, you know, if it's a celebrity, you can have people chime in. And, you know, you and me could live stream this event from two different places, you know, at the same time. And maybe somebody will find that interesting. But there are definitely use cases that could be life-changing, you know, that could be world-changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about getting that another perspective in almost the most literal sense possible out there and publicly available.
Speaking of perspective, the last one I'll throw at you is this company called DroneBase, all right? And their idea is on-call drone services. So let's say you're at RTX, right?
Okay.
And you want to get a huge picture with all of your Griffball community, right?
I do.
Right? Yeah. So you're all out there, and it's like, nobody's got a good camera. Like, you know what would be really cool? An aerial shot. Okay, let's bring up a drone base, and we'll get somebody to just fly a drone over and start recording us at that moment, and then we just pay for the video later.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. The way they pitched it is more of a commercial thing. Like, maybe you're a real estate agent and you want like this particular shot, or you are in construction and you need to see something really high up and you can't, like, it's just faster if you, you know, fly a drone up there, but maybe you don't have a drone. Like, oh, well, I wish there was a way we could just pay somebody to, because remotely, it doesn't matter where they are, right? As long as the drone is nearby, somebody just activates it, flies it over, and gets you whatever you need. And that is kind of crazy, because it's taking even something like drones, which are not a lot of people have drones, you know? Maybe some people have like a small quadricopter, you know, like a toy one, but legit, like, bigger drones that you can have a nice camera on and do stuff with, they're still, you know, not a lot of people have them, and they're pretty expensive. So now you can just rent the service out, because maybe it's one of those things like, I don't really want to buy one, but I would love to have one to record my kids'
Who does not
t-ball
buy
game.
A drone?
You know?
I want a drone.
Do you? Do you want a drone? What, yes. What do you want a drone for?
I don't know, but I want one. I loved those RC helicopters when I was little, and I still do. Or when people would attach GoPros to kites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I don't know why yet. I would probably pretend it's like a Navi or something. Hey, listen. If it follows me around, or, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm totally blanking on his name. Wheatley? Yeah, Wheatley from Portal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a little cyber thing to follow me around. Or, you know, Game of Thrones it up with a little dragon that sits on my shoulder. And when I want an aerial picture, I'm like, fly, my pretty. And it goes and it takes it. Yeah, I could find uses for that.
In Modern Family, there's an episode where the parents use it to spy on one of the kids because they're not sure what he's doing. Yep. There's a use case for you.
I'm not going to comment on that one.
No?
I
you don't
want to
tip your husband off? You don't want to
exactly.
tip your husband off?
Yeah. No, he's low jacked.
We can completely edit this part. Don't worry about it. So I think that is just kind of crazy. Right. I mean, it's at the next level. It's like, you don't even have to buy one. You can just rent one out for whatever service it is, or whatever cool thing it is that you want to do at the moment. I think that's a really good idea. And
it's the evolution of the selfie stick.
Yeah. Again, it's for me, it's cool because I don't have a drone.
You don't?
That's true and not true.
Well, okay.
There is one in the room next door. It isn't mine, but I do have access to it. But it isn't mine, right? So, well, let's say they're using the one drone, right? And I want to use another one because I've got something else to do, or I want to travel with it. Like you're going on a trip. They sell like a backpack for your drone, but you don't want to do that. When you get there, you just rent one or rent the service out. I don't know.
Gosh,
I think
my drone is so heavy.
Yeah, you know. See, that's what I mean. Like, there's that gap, right? There's that gap between, well, if I have one and I'm really good at it and I like to use it, I don't need to pay somebody else to do it. But I don't know. Like, if I had a chauffeur, I wouldn't be worrying about Lyft or Lux or anything else like that. But
if I had a chauffeur, I wouldn't be worrying about anything, because that would mean that I would be rolling in it, and it would be awesome.
If we both had chauffeurs, I would have us do the podcast, like, just on the road in our specific cars. Like, in the, that would be cool.
Yeah, nope. We could totally do that. No, I'm just thinking, like, one of those giant political tour buses where you just stop and you get to talk to people. And so, we should kickstart that. Send Kelly and Josue on a whirlwind trip around the United States in a chauffeured bus.
I want a Hummer limo with a pool in the back. Can we do that?
That is incredibly specific.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw one on TV once. I think that would be the best way to podcast, from the pool in the back of the Hummer limo.
I could get down with that. So would that be convenient for you?
Ah, good point. Thanks for bringing us back in to the topic at hand. And we really got off the rails.
We did. Tangents happen.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, it's not as bad as you wanted to talk about Game of Thrones. I had no way to justify that one.
They use a lot of technology in Game of Thrones, like spears and swords and...
Get out of here. Let's go.
They do.
Let's go. No, we can't save this episode. We're done.
Okay.
We're done. All right. So everybody, there's a lot of technology that we didn't talk about that I think would fall under that category. Do you think this is convenient, or do you think it's silly? I would like to have that conversation moving forward, because I'm torn between a lot of this stuff, and I generally think that it's all really cool that any of this is even possible. But at the same time, I think, why are we wasting our time on a dash button when we could be working on something else? But that's a whole other conversation for another day.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Kelly, for bringing up the ridiculous dash button and having a whole priming us to have a whole episode on it.
And by ridiculous, you mean super awesome.
Kind of awesome. Kind of. Sometimes. Maybe.
All right. Well, that's... We'll see. I think we should have a button off or something where we each get one and use it and come back to this maybe in a couple months and see if we're still in the same camps or not.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, let's do... We don't do enough scientific experimentation on this show. Let's do that.
That's a good way of... Yeah, I like putting it that way. We will scientifically experiment with this.
Yeah, science. All right, yeah, let's get some buttons. Let's get some dash buttons.
Yes.
All right. And while we wait for our buttons, And while we wait for your buttons, go to psychtechpodcast.com if you want to get more episodes or any of the show notes for today. And so thank you so much, Kelly.
Oh, it's always my pleasure.
And we'll see you all next time.
Bye-bye.